Hey, everybody, and welcome back. It is the Brew University Book Club podcast. I'm your host, Jeff Weaver, and I'm here today, as always, with my podcast panel of book readers, including our sales manager in Fort Myers, Chris Morgan. Hi, Chris.
Hey, what's going on, Jeff?
I am ready to book club with you guys. Lisa Velez, our e-commerce director in Tampa, is here as well. Hi, Lisa.
Hey, how's it going?
Going great. Glad to have you. Dan Endres is joining us, as he does, all the way from Minnesota. Hi, Dan.
Good morning.
Howdy, howdy. And of course, Suzanne Borgia is here, our human resource director in Tampa.
Good morning.
Glad to have you guys all here again. Welcome back if you're joining us. We are talking about our season one selection, and that is Entree Leadership by Dave Ramsey. Today, we're going to discuss chapter 12, Caught in the Act, which is all about recognition and making sure
you're getting the right behavior talks about
out of your teams.
Recognition
I love this
as a
chapter.
Whole.
This
I mean,
is one that
everybody
is
loves
near and dear to my heart because I think this is such
no matter
an important topic.
How shy you
I get to talk
are
about this stuff all
or,
the time, so I want to hear what you guys had to say.
How much of an
tell me your thoughts
you are,
on chapter
you'd love
12
to be
and
recognized.
Getting caught in the act.
And I love
of doing
how he
the
said
right
the first rule of recognition is to simply to bother to do it. So us as leaders have to remember we need to recognize our team members. And he goes on to talk about how it's not expensive. You don't have to buy them an extravagant gift. Just simply, you know, any simple gesture of recognition is something that they're looking for. So I really like that.
Yeah, I agree. A lot of times when we talk about recognition or somebody writes about it, it's very, you know, canned, but he actually gives some good nuggets and I'm sure we'll get into them obviously, but, so I just appreciated how practical this chapter was.
I agree with what you guys said. People need it and we need to be deliberate and do it, but we need to do it from a place of realness. It can't be faked or forced or it could have a negative effect. And the line that I took, page one in this chapter, the feeling and reality of acceptance gives people the opportunity to become their best. If they don't feel as they're part of the team, they're not going to be part of the team and will not do their best work for you.
Absolutely. To kind of piggyback off of what Dan was just saying, I think authenticity is key. Like if you're just kind of blowing smoke just to blow smoke, then it falls short of the mark of trying to recognize a team member for doing, going above and beyond, you know, and it's like, and yeah, I mean, I love, you know, Dave Ramsey, again, I'm a huge fan of his and, you know, and it's like, and I love the way that he really states it's a methodical manner of just like making sure that you're recognizing people, not just in front of maybe coworkers, but maybe even people that are important to the actual person themselves, whether it be family, whether it be the individual, you know, coworkers that they're working with, you know, and, you know, be public about it. And, you know, cause criticism, it can be so loud. And then people kind of come quietly with the, hey, attaboy, you know, nice job. And it should be quite the opposite.
Yeah, I agree with everything you guys are saying. And I think that's one of the, I think the most important thing he starts off this chapter by talking about is exactly where you guys all keyed in on, which is this just has to be done. At the very simplest level, the most important part of recognition is to just do it. And how often it is that managers just let this one fall through the cracks. You know, this is one of those things that we all want to do it. I've never known a manager who didn't think recognition was important, but I've also never known one that was recognizing as much as they probably should. It's just one of those habits we have to build, and it requires intentionality, and it requires making that effort and building that consistent muscle of getting it done. You know, without even realizing it, I think he sort of parrots what we talk about in First Break All the Rules about spending time on the best and recognizing what's right. We spend so much time as leaders focused on the team members who are underperforming and how are we going to correct behavior and how are we going to raise those performances. But are we spending enough time on our best performers to maximize their performance? Because if you think about it, really, it's our best performers that are going to continue to achieve at the highest levels. If we don't take the time to reward and recognize that behavior, we're not going to be getting enough of it, and it's not going to trickle down to the rest of our teams. So I really do love that his first rule is just get it done, just make it a habit. And that I thought was a great place to begin this chapter.
I think just to kind of echo, not just getting it done on, you know, focusing on the good employees, but also the strengths of the employee, kind of like Lisa said, you know, and he even alludes in the book about a report card. We focus on the C's. Why'd your kid get a C when we should be praising those A's to really get the, I mean, the strength to really help that flourish. And it's the same with our employees. I mean, we have employees that have strengths and opportunities, but if we really focus on those strengths and continue to help them grow that, and I think that's really what this chapter is about, the recognition piece.
And I love the story he told about recognizing a team member in front of their parents. And he said and the team member was, I believe from the story that they were older. So it wasn't like they were a young kid. And he said he looked over at the team member and they were beaming just in front of their parents just to get that recognition. I thought that was such a great story. It's just an awesome feeling to be recognized by your leaders and by other team members. Just to get that recognition is always a good feeling.
Yeah, absolutely. We all want to be praised. You know, funny enough, humans are pretty easy to understand and program when it comes to this kind of behavior stuff. And I've been reading a lot and studying a lot on this in the last few years in particular. And Dave had it back 10 years ago and in such a simple point that, you know, humans are actually, we're pretty easy to program whether we realize it or not. But you simply are going to get more of what you recognize. You're going to get more of what you reward. You're going to get more of what you focus on. And we want attention. You know, humans crave attention. In the absence of positive attention, we'll even take negative attention because we just want attention. That's just the way we are. So if you recognize a behavior, expect to get more of it. And that's why often you hear when it comes to coaching and corrective action or performance management, we recognize and reward publicly, we reprimand in private, because we don't want to even put a spotlight on bad performance. When you recognize that performance, you'll get more of it too, because it's a way to get attention. And so that struck through to me as I was reading this, that it's great to do the recognition publicly and making sure that people know that recognition and rewards are coming for above the line performance, but also to make sure that we're not recognizing bad performance in a way that creates attention on it, because that in and of itself becomes a way for people to get attention. So really that idea of, if you recognize it, you're going to get more of it, good, bad, or whatever, I thought was an interesting part that he talked about, that whatever you recognize, that's what you're going to get. You better be careful about what you do.
And Jeff, you had a perfect segue into the next point I wanted to bring up. Be very intentional to recognize what you want duplicated. For months, I have been asking my sales reps to send me pictures of their displays from retail, partly because of COVID. We can't get out there and the suppliers can't get out there to see the execution. I know they're executing, but I want proof of execution. For a long time, I struggled to get even a single display picture of every day, and I've started including some of the best of the best in my daily email that I alluded to in a previous segment. And now I am flooded with so many pictures that I can't possibly use them all. So, you know, recognize what you want duplicated. I did that, and it has proved to be very successful.
Oh, Dan, that is such a great example, because that's exactly what Dave's talking about here. Is all it takes is a little intentional effort to recognize what you want more of, and people are going to flock to it. Our people will go where they see our attention looking. And if you put your attention on something, when you focus on something, you're going to get more of it, whatever it is. So if all you're focused on are the poor performers, if all you're focused on are the people who aren't keeping up, anybody who wants your attention is going to, whether they consciously realize it or not, go, well, the only way to get attention is to not perform. So I'm going to not perform and maybe I'll get noticed. If you're not noticing the winners, no one's going to be incentivized to win. And that's a perfect example. That's cool. So more pictures than you can handle. I love that. Maybe I'll try something like that with the newsletter too. We need more people submitting stuff anyway. Excellent. So what else? What else stuck out to you from this chapter?
I like that he had brought up that recognition doesn't have to be expensive. And then he used an example of, you know, people making a ton of money a year, like going out of their way to win a t-shirt, you know, and it's like, and again, I think that it kind of appeals to people's competitive nature, especially if you want to get that t-shirt, you're going to do the best that you can to get that t-shirt. And that's my t-shirt because I earned it, you know, and it's like, and you can't take this t-shirt away. It's like, and yeah, I mean, I just love how simple and how basic it is. You know, I really do, you know, and again, it just kind of, it works internally with my group, you know, and it's good stuff.
Yeah, it's not about the t-shirt. It's about the winning, but you're exactly right. And it's such a great point, Lisa. Yes. You know, a lot of managers are, again, this takes intentionality, this takes effort. And some people are intimidated or hold off on that effort because they think, oh, I can't do it good enough, right? I just can't do enough. I can't do something big. I don't have the budget to really put an incentive in on my own, or I don't have a big enough prize to really motivate people. you'll be shocked at how hard people will work for the littlest of things if there's recognition and reward to come with it. And this is a perfect example of don't let perfection be the enemy of done, right? When it comes to recognition, don't let the fear that it won't be the right kind or the best kind of recognition stop you from doing something. Any recognition is going to move the needle. And if you just take the time to, again, like you said, sometimes it's just stand there, watch them work for a second, and then give them a little smile and nod when they're done with that customer on the phone to let them know you acknowledge, recognize, and care about what they're doing. Those little things matter. The quick email response or the text message you send with that trophy emoji that goes, you know, I saw your sales for the end of today on the route, and this was a good one. Put a little trophy emoji in it. That trophy emoji can mean as much as a lot of other things if it's done with sincerity. And that was, I think, tying into why does the price not matter? I think it's because the sincerity matters. And that was a great piece that he talked about, that, you know, it's got to be sincere. You can't give the same stock award for every success, because at that point, it's no longer award, it's compensation. If they know that every time I do the thing, I get the thing, well, that's how paychecks work. Every time you do the things, we pay you. But when it's sincere and it's special and it's unique and it matters for that moment or that time, it doesn't matter what it costs. It matters that it mattered.
I like how Dave points out that you should recognize in writing, make it public. I think this is the chapter where he talks about the letterhead. And now everybody in his company has got their own monogrammed letterhead to write thank you notes to their employees or their vendors or their customers that they work with. But recognize people in writing. It might end up being a trophy on the back of their cubicle wall someday. If you just take the time to write a simple note and say thank you.
Absolutely. How many of you guys have ever gotten a handwritten note from a leader and I can look right now here in my office over at my shelf. I've got six that are sitting there from different people that have handwritten me something over time that I keep up, because they mean the world to you.
And I think we're getting away from that. And it is sad, because it's so fun to get mail. You know, it's so fun to get something that's tangible, not just an email is great too, but it is nice to get a piece of mail, and I have them on my bulletin board too from, you know, over the years, and some of them are really old, but I just keep them.
Although I will admit that I have before printed out an email from a vice president that I got once and framed it for my office because I was so proud of it. So again, don't let good be the enemy of great, but I agree, Suzanne. I think getting something tangible, that personalized note that gets dropped on your desk, seems to have so much, again, more weight than just something ephemeral or temporary or digital, but so simple and yet so powerful.
But on the other hand of that, I like how Ramsey talks about how cheap flattery is very demotivating. So we just have to be careful that we're not just, you know, just kind of throwing out an insincere compliment for something or an insincere recognition, that we're actually, you know, we mean it, and that we want that thing that they did, that we want that repeated. So.
So he does talk about, you know, praising in public. And I thought that was an interesting discussion because, of course, if you've taken classes that we've done on recognition in the past, we do talk about recognizing publicly versus recognizing privately. I wasn't sure that I fully agreed with him on this particular topic, but I want to see what you guys think about what he had to say, and then I'll throw my thoughts in too.
Yeah, that's a good segue too. I was going to say, I do feel like you should meet people where, you know, we all should know our team enough to meet them where they want to be recognized. I can tell you two people on my team that don't want public recognition, and it would be embarrassing for them, as much as, you know, the team would be happy to hear them be recognized. For them, you know, it makes them go into a shell. So I do think it's important to know your team and know if it's a Twizzler on their desk that's going to be their recognition, or a public email saying, you know, congratulations. I think there is a difference.
Jeff, you've taught a course called Managing Generational Differences, and I think that plays into this as well. As Suzanne said, you really do need to know your team and how they're going to respond to both praise and criticism or coaching. And generationally, it could really add up to that. How are they wired as a person? Both based on that and also just their upbringing and their general demeanor.
Well, yeah, that's to kind of, you know, the one thing I think J.J. Taylor has is, like, especially with the you earned it, Kazu kind of thing, it's like that's public praise, you know, and it's kind of nice to jump on there and see who's done what and so-and-so has been rewarded for being a team player here and, you know, for doing, you know, whatever the points are assigned to it and just, like, different, you know, I think I know my team really appreciates that.
I know my team members love to be praised publicly. I know that. So we always, with our sales meetings, will have, you know, fun little incentives that we love to praise people with. You know, I think Dan spoke about that with his pictures. We do something similar. And, you know, even if it's, you know, it's not always monetary. They just, like all of you guys have said, they just, they see their, you know, their display held up. And I'll say, all right, this is the standard of the display we're looking for, or for us to just give them an attaboy or whatever for their display. I mean, it just seems, I just love that for them, and such a motivating factor for most of the people.
It really comes down to know your teams and know your people. There really are some people that if they know they have to be stood up in front of the sales meeting and recognized, they will not do the thing just to avoid being put up there. There's still a way, I think, to marry this. I think you can praise publicly without putting people on display, right? So you want to give them something. Again, if I have somebody that I know doesn't want to be held up publicly in front of the group, I'm not going to put them up at that meeting. But I am going to give them something they can put out on their desk, or that when people walk by their office, they can stop and go, what's that for? Oh, it's because I did this thing. And that, you know, again, there are ways to square that circle. But I think the important part is, know your team. Yes, you want recognition to be a public act. Yes, you want people to know. And sometimes it's about bragging on people when they're not in the room. You know, one thing we used to do at my old, back in my retail days, when we would have our weekly meeting, managers would always come and recognize members of the team, and they weren't there. This was just a manager's meeting, but we kicked it off by talking about some of the people on other people's teams that we thought had done really well that week. And it was a way to praise them in front of their boss without them even having to be there to take the embarrassment factor. But that's another way to praise publicly without having to put someone on display, is send an email to their supervisor and say, let me tell you what so-and-so did. Or send it to your supervisor if it's up the chain, right? So if you've got sales reps that work for you and you're the director of sales, send it to the VP of sales and just say, I just want you to know that so-and-so did something great this week. And then the next time you see them, make sure you call it out. And the next time they see them in a very private moment, they'll just say, hey, I got an email from your boss and said you were really killing it this week. So nice work. Keep it up. That can go a long way. And it's still a way to make it a widely known thing without it having to be an on-display thing. But I think when he says public, I agree with the philosophy, but I do think there's that one little asterisk that says, but don't put people on display that don't want to be, because you can easily kill behavior by making people go, I will do anything to avoid being held up in front of the room. You got to be creative. And that's something too that I think, you know, going back to what you were talking about, Chris, it doesn't have to be extravagant. It doesn't have to be special. It has to be sincere. And a little bit of creativity goes a long way in that sincerity.
I think timely recognition is very important. If you wait a week to recognize something or somebody for something they did in the past, you've kind of missed the mark. You need to be deliberate and timely with your recognition.
I think it's about one of the things that he highlights is being predictable about some of the things that you're looking for. And I guess it kind of ties back into authenticity as well. I mean, it's like, If you have, I think the way I have it highlighted, stated core values and operating principles help communicate how you intend the organization to run. And of course, so if you've got someone that's a baller is the term that's coming into my mind right now, you know, and they're doing great, you know, so it's like, you know, you want to be able to, if you're predictable about praising this person, then hopefully it lifts up the caliber of your entire team. If you need to cut out baller, you're more than welcome to.
I'm never cutting out baller. Baller is perfect. That stays forever. That is great. No, I couldn't agree with you more, right? Because at the end of the day, when we talk about recognition, the way we've taught it for years, Mary's right along with what he's saying here, it's about that above and below the line type management approach to performance, right? We have a line of performance expectation. This is what we expect of you to get the job done, and that's what gets you your paycheck. Fall below that line, I will hold you accountable. But above that line, I need to reward beyond just the compensation, because if people are performing above expectations and I'm not rewarding them above expectations, what is their motivation to stay above that line? They're going to fall back to the lowest comfort level of where their performance is at. And this chapter really does speak to getting into, you know, compensation's one thing, but if you really want people to perform above expectations, you better be rewarding and recognizing when they do it, or else they're just going to stop. Because what doesn't get recognized and doesn't get rewarded does not get repeated. And that's the heart of where this chapter's at. Final thoughts on Caught in the Act.
I think for me, my final thought would be show people you care if you want them to care. We need to be deliberate as leaders and show them that we truly care about them as a person and their development. And if we do that, they will reciprocate.
And also, like he spoke about, you know, the crusader mentality. You want all your people to be crusaders that'll run into a burning building, that will do whatever it takes to win. And again, without recognition, you're not going to get that from your people.
It's about passion. It really is about the passion that you have for your team and for what you're doing and motivating. I mean, it's hard to motivate people if you're not motivated yourself, you know? So it's like, and that kind of all ties back into authenticity for me. I think that was probably my key takeaway, is just be passionate about what you're doing and who you're working with.
And I think the quote that I highlighted, it's probably maybe a good closer for us. People say motivation doesn't last. Well, neither does bathing. That's why we should do both daily.
Nobody can say it better than Zig Ziglar, and nobody here could say it better than Suzanne saying Zig Ziglar. So I am going to wrap it up on that. That's perfect. Absolutely could not agree more. Well, thank you guys, as always, for a great discussion on this. I think we've dissected this one all six ways that we can, and it really is it's a short chapter, it's a poignant chapter, but I think it's such an important chapter because, as always, when we talk about leadership, we talk about intentionality, we talk about how important it is that we do things on purpose and with intent, and this chapter couldn't be more to the heart of that exact process of you just got to do it. If there's nothing else you take away from it, you just got to do it. And so every day, just like bathing. So thank you very much. Appreciate you guys being here. I'll thank my guests as I do. Lisa, thanks for joining us.
Anytime. Thank you.
Dan, thanks for being here as always.
Thank you, Jeff.
Suzanne, thanks for quoting things for us.
Thank you.
And Chris, thanks for being here. Glad to have you.
Thanks again.
Onward and upward, coming closer and closer to the end of our book. We're at chapter, this was chapter 12. We've got three more to go. So we're winding down, but getting into the really good depths of where this can take us. So we thank you for joining us for another episode of the Brew University Book Club podcast and our season one exploration of entree leadership. I've been your host, Jeff Weaver, and we'll be back again next week with chapter 13.